This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here with John Senecal, episode 205. We'll do a quick little, not a recap on the All-Star game, but John and I look at this a little bit differently. We'll give you a hot take central on that. We'll talk about the two teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox, coming out of the All-Star break. We will talk a little bit about the Tampa Bay Rays, and in that All-Star talk, we'll probably talk a little Paul Skeens as well. John, you seem to be happy with the All-Star game, even though a guy who didn't get a hit during the game won the MVP. They couldn't finish the game in nine innings, and it took 4 hours.
Yeah, I think the one big glaring thing I didn't like about it, Brian, was the length of the game, right? We're accustomed to watching games that are 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours and 30 minutes now, and that was like, what, like 3.5 hours or something like that after all the theatrics and everything. That being said, the theatrics were cool. I liked the Henry Aaron tribute. That was really neat how they did that on the field. So, you know, as far as like all the hoopla, I thought that was pretty neat. But ending the game in the swing off, I mean, Major League Baseball loves it, right? Because this is something they introduced. You also had the pitch challenge system working quick right out the gates, and it worked, you know, in the players' favors another time. But the swing off, I think, you know, the one thing I'll take away from that is naming the players ahead of time, and the fact that you have to name the players, and they were named basically on guys that they thought would be in the game. And I mean, if you're a fan of the game, you don't want to see Brent Rooker and Jonathan Aranda taking home run swings. You want to see Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. So I think that's the one thing missing there, is that if it's going to come down to that, you want the premier players. Not to say Schwarber isn't, but you know, Poehler Pete didn't get a chance to hit. And you got guys like Stowers hitting up there and that kind of thing. So it's, you know, you want to see the home run hitters finishing the game, if that's the case.
I'll just, you know, listen, it's not new. I think the All-Star game is terrible. I think that it's not even baseball's fault. Growing up, the MLB All-Star game was the All-Star game. Like, basketball never mattered. Hockey never mattered. Football never, ever mattered. But in the pre-interleague play era, I would say it was great, because you got to see, I'm sorry, I had a little visual issue there. It meant something
when it wasn't interleague play. It's different now. They see each other all the time.
Right. And so there's the magic was, there were players, you know, and now with MLB's ability to, you can see any game anytime you want, it totally changes things. And there's what's the allure? And then the home run derby, as much as you like it, if you're not going to have the top dogs in it, I'd say, what does that matter? And even the swing off, your point is, you don't get the top dogs doing that either. So I just honestly, and you can do all the Hank Aaron tributes in the world, I just don't care.
Yeah, the home run derby is interesting because it's a big PR stunt, right? It's not what it used to be, just like the dunk contest in the NBA fell off the planet really fast. That's not what it used to be, and that happened quick too, because you don't have the premier players doing it. To me, it just looked like a big bro fest, right? It's just a bunch of dudes out there fanning each other with towels and hugging each other. I've never seen men hug each other so much in my life. It's crazy. I don't get it. I mean, have you? I mean, I don't know. Is that like a Latin thing or what? It's like, dude, they fawn all over each other. They hang over each other like they're lovers. I don't get it. It's just weird.
I don't know. So, I just, outside of little kids, I mean, I'd rather have those guys sign for kids for 3 hours and then play a stupid game. So I don't want to.
I mean, you had a guy out there. What, Rooker was feeding his baby a bottle, and people were giving him crap about it. And it's like, well, you know, it's time for the players to be with their families. I get that, right? But it's like, it's not much a game anymore, right? It's just like people hanging out, watching people hang out.
Yeah, it's dumb. And I mean, you're more of a fan than me, but I mean, there's no way to justify me watching it. So
yeah, the home run derby doesn't do it for me. I was more interested in the futures game, to be honest with you, than the home run derby.
Yeah, and I still think that there's got to be a modified way to do a skills comp. I do think that that would be really compelling. I would love to see that. Anyway, John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. It is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 205. You know, you mentioned to me before the show about Paul Skeens, and you posed a question that I don't think will happen necessarily, but do you think somebody can win the Cy Young with a losing record and fewer than 10 wins? Because right now Skeens has a 2.01 ERA, but he's 4-8. He's got a whip over one. He's got 131 strikeouts. And after you did that, John, and you can give me your take on whether you think it's possible, he only, out of his starts, he only has two or three bad starts. I mean, he lost games 2-1, 1-0, 4-2, 3-0, 1-0, 2-1, 3-0. Like, he gets zero run support, and he's pitched great games and gotten losses. So do you really think that if he goes, you know, 7 or 8 and 10, that he could win a Cy Young?
If the numbers other than the wins, losses are there, absolutely. If he keeps going on the trajectory that he is and they keep pitching him. Now, you said he's not, you know, he's not throwing as many innings, but that being said, you know, he had 133 innings pitched last season and he's at 122 now. Now that also, you know, that doesn't factor in the minor league innings he threw leading up to his being called up when he didn't get called up until like June. So yeah, he did have more innings than that, but I would suspect they keep him on that same course. And if the numbers trend, Brian, and he maybe wins, say he wins that same number of games and he's at 8 wins and those numbers are there, I believe he's going to do it, unless there's someone else in the National League that's going to blow him away. Because I mean, first of all, it's never been done, right? And everybody loves that when records are broken and it's never been done. That gets you some talk, right? Granted, it's happened with closers. Eric Gagne in 2003 was a 2-3 record. He won it, but he also had 55 saves and he had like 50 something in a row. I think he didn't blow a save for like 50 saves, but it's never been done for a closer. There is the shortened COVID year with Trevor Bauer. Can you believe that name, Trevor Bauer, in 2020? 5-4, he won the Cy Young, and Shane Bieber was 8-1 that year. But, you know, Jacob DeGrom, 10 wins in 2018. Jacob DeGrom, 11 wins in 2019. Corbin Burns, 11 wins in 2021. And then Felix Hernandez, 13-12. You know, that's the closest they've come to a losing record. So, well, I mean, honestly, I think it can be done. I really do. If he trends in those same numbers and keeps pitching and doesn't get hurt, and I think he'll get a lot of sympathy votes for being on such a crappy team.
Yeah, but you got, you know, in the NL, I was just looking at, you know, leaders. Like, you got Freddy Peralta, who comes out of the break 11-4 with not a bad ERA, 2.66. You have Matthew Boyd with the Cubs, who's 10-3 with a 2.34 ERA. And then you go down to Zach Wheeler, who's 9-3 with 2.36. So if any of those guys get to 15 to 18 wins, I don't see it happening. But it's an interesting topic of conversation.
My question with Boyd would be his durability. Will he be there? Will he keep pitching good? And can he sustain winning? Now, a lot of those wins, obviously, he's pitching good, but he's on a good team, right? So the Cubs, and you, what was the other guy you mentioned?
I mentioned Zach Wheeler.
The last guy. Zach Wheeler, obviously, always in contention for the Cy Young. 9-3 on a very good team. So I don't, the losses are great because they're low, but I would expect them to win more games. If he can get up in the 15 win category and keep the losses at 5 and be like 15-5, that would be very impressive. But I think it's going to be very hard for a case against Paul Skeens. I really do.
Well, we're going to disagree on that. I don't think there's a sympathy vote because he plays for a crappy team, but that's neither here nor there. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. This is what I want to get to. I want to get to the second half. The games start up on Friday. I have plenty to say about the Red Sox. I know you have plenty to say about the Yankees. I feel like you should start with the Yankees. Obviously, July has not been a kind month. They're barely hanging on now to the top wild card spot, right? And they're a game ahead of the Red Sox. It's just, if we had talked a month ago, I mean, I said it. I was the kiss of death. I said there's really no one to challenge the Yankees in the East. They were up 7.5 or 8 when I said it. And now it's really bananas to look at the standings.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's troubling, but the Yankees are playing better. They have been playing better. I know they didn't take the series against the Cubs, but they are playing better. And it is a gauntlet. July is a gauntlet for them. They are going to be in rough shape.
Because I already know what the Red Sox have. I'll get to it in a minute, but what are the Yankees
have? Oh, boy, they're coming out of the break.
Are you getting your paper schedule out? You're getting your fridge magnet? What are you doing?
Atlanta, Blue Jays, Phillies, Tampa. Atlanta, yeah. Blue Jays, Phillies, Tampa. So there is, I mean, they got the gauntlet, dude. I mean, we talked a couple episodes about, you know, the Red Sox schedule is a little bit easier. They both had the same home and away mix in the month. But yeah, the Yankees, I guess Atlanta would be an easy thing, but they're not going to roll over and die on you. But the Yankees got a gauntlet. That being said, obviously the big concern for the Yankees is a starting pitcher. Luis Gil is starting his rehab assignment in AA. We'll see how that goes.
Hartford,
if he's coming into the Yard Goats to play. And the Yankees need a bullpen. They need a left-handed in the bullpen. They're going to need a starter, and they're going to need a third baseman. All the talk is over Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks, who took a pitch from a freaking White Sox pitcher off his hand in the All-Star game and got hit in the hand. X-rays are negative, but you never know what the deal with that is. Will the Yankees overpay? The problem is, and I talked about this in the last episode, it's thin. The market is thin, and there's going to be a lot of teams competing. There's like 20-something teams within 5.5 games of the wild card right now, 22 teams. Right. And the teams that are out of it don't have much to offer. So, you know, if I'm a Yankees fan, and if all other Yankees fans, you guys been loving Spencer Jones all this year, he is not going to be on the team after July 31st. He's playing great in the minor leagues and he is going to get traded. That's the Yankees' big trade chip. And the Yankees got the taste of the World Series and they are going to go heavy at the trading deadline. No doubt about it.
I go back and forth. I think the Yankees are in some trouble, but, you know, I don't know. You talk about a gauntlet, though. I think you're dismissive. The Red Sox have three of the best teams in baseball right out of the gate. They have Cubs, Phillies on the road, and then Dodgers at home. They have all three first-place teams in the National League.
And I think their easier was before the break. They had the easier team before the break.
Yeah, of course. It was the first half of July. The Cubs are – I mean, to me, they're a surprise. I just didn't know enough about them. And the Phillies are in a really difficult division, and the Dodgers are in probably the best division in baseball. And, you know, Mookie coming to Boston is a big deal. And my focus is squarely on those 9 games. And they have Minnesota in Minnesota to finish out the month. So basically they have Chicago, Philly, LA Dodgers, and Minnesota leading
so
into.
So they're playing Minnesota to finish the month, right? So they can just trade Joe Ryan right over to the other side.
Just switch.
He can just walk across the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to happen, right? I mean, that's probably what's going to happen.
That's the question. The question is who would be in that deal? But I think more importantly, you know, those 9 games against those first place teams, you know, even if they win 3 or 4 of them, I would argue they're going to be within a game of the wild card, even if they go 3-6. Right. They're probably, I mean, you know, if they go 4-5, whatever the number is, unless they lose 7, they're going to still be squarely in the mix for the wild card. And the question is, you know, all Boston wants to know is buy or sell, buying or selling. And if they don't, I mean, I wanted to look back because, you know, they struggled in and out of the break in years past, making them sellers when people thought they should have been buyers, and the win losses almost looked like it was fixed. They lost games to make them less competitive. And I felt that helped justify not acquiring players. If I got in this kerfuffle with my nephew. I don't know if I told you this story, but he's a big Red Sox fan. He's like, "Hey, how do you like the Red Sox?" And I was like, "I hate the Red Sox." And he's like, "Why are you always so negative?" And I was like, "Well, I love the young kids. I'm glad they got rid of Devers, but if they just get my hopes up and then don't acquire anybody, first of all, I don't believe – I love Willy Abreu. I love Zidane Rafaela. I mean, his story is amazing. I love it. But I just I the first 2 months of the season salted me so much that it's hard for me to get into exciting mode. I know other friends who are fans have been able to do it, but it's been a slow burn for me. So the trade deadline is important for me as a fan, because if they don't add and send the message that we're trying to win now, what's the point? Like, what is the effing point? So that's head is.
I think the Red Sox, the good thing about them right now is, other than the fact that they have a 10-game winning streak coming out of the break, like you said, the next 8 games going into that Twin series, they will know where they stand, right? If they're within 3 games, I would think they go for it for sure.
Well, that's your assumption, but what if they don't – come up with Joe Ryan? What if they don't come up with a number 2 or number 3 starter?
It's going to be what teams are willing to spend. It's because, like I said, it's so thin and going to be so much competition. But again, what the Red Sox, I feel, have going for them is they've figured it out internally. They've gotten rid of Devers. They've gotten Christian Campbell back down to the minors where he should have started to begin with. Yep. And the team seems to be headed in the right direction as far as their mental thing. And the energy in the ballpark is great. There's a lot of buzz in the city, obviously, about it. So like you said, the fans are into it. So now it's, again, we keep beating the drum on this. It's up to the ownership to sack up and do what they need to do. And if hopefully they do it, I don't know, for your guys' sake, hopefully they do it. I hope they sit around with their, you know what, in their hand.
With all your time in Boston, are you kind of sneaky liking the Red Sox?
No, I don't sneaky like the Red Sox. I just like to see good competition, and I want to see people be excited, Brian. It sucks if you're not excited about your team, right? Yeah. Like, look at like Paul Skeens and the Pirates. Why would you want to be excited about that team? There's no reason to be excited about the Pirates other than Paul Skeens. And if I was Paul Skeens, I wouldn't be excited about the Pirates. So yeah, if you want your team to spend money, that's why Yankee fans are Yankee fans, because they know they'll do what they need to do to try to win every single year. Yeah. It's expected, and they do it. And if you're a fan base, that's what you want. You don't want to be a Baltimore Orioles with all the hype in the world. You just sort of roll over in the offseason, wait for someone to come scratch your belly like a dog. Get out of here.
I do think that there are some places in this country that you're like, why even support the team when they're so obviously not trying to win? And then you have the places like Kansas City and Seattle, right, that are like, they're trying, but they have to sort of do that cyclical window thing, and you have to wait for their window to open, and if they don't play it exactly right, then the window closes and they go back down. Whereas, you know, the Red Sox haven't been able to do what the Yankees do, but they should. Is that, you know, Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, they should never fall off, ever.
And then so you got a team like the Rays. They don't even know what they're doing.
Let's talk about the Rays for a second, because, you know, they're going to get sold for $1.7 billion into an investment group. And I think that, you know, that's the dumbest money ever if they're going to keep them in Tampa. And then if they make the playoffs, they're going to play in Steinbrenner Stadium.
Playoffs.
10,000 capacity. I said this on my morning show, WTIC Newstalk 1080, that I really want the Rays to make the playoffs because I want them to play a game at Steinbrenner Field and not sell it out. You know, like, I mean, if you can't, but I mean, like, for me, like, I just think that it's just so indicative of, but the fact that somebody's willing to pay that money for that team without a stadium is just, I don't know, it's kind of a joke, right? I mean,
baseball in Florida is a joke, Brian. Come on. I think we all know what's going to happen here. Like, oh, I want to keep the team in Tampa. I'm going to buy a team with no roof. And they're going to put a garbage bag back on the roof. And then we're going to think about a stadium that nobody wants for the last 8 years. Come on, dude. They ain't staying in Tampa. This dude's buying the team and they're vamanos. See you later. Oh, absolutely. Nashville. Goodbye.
Nashville.
Wherever. He is not staying there. You can say it all you want. It's the grand opening, grand closing. You know, I got the most confidence in my manager. And the black car is down in the back picking him up, driving him out. You're not staying in Tampa. If they wanted to be in Tampa, they would be been there. I mean, how long have they been squawking about a stadium down there? There's been three different plans, I think, in each city.
They don't deserve.
They ain't staying there. They don't. I mean, and then they say like, oh, well, where else would they have played? Well, you could always go and play in Miami for playoff games. That's a great big stadium that nobody goes and sits in too. But what are you going to do? You stay in Steinbrenner Field. I think it'd be pretty funny. Watching a playoff game in a minor league park. Oh, my God. They might just come to Hartford and play.
Our buddy Matt Sorois made the great point. It wouldn't be great if they played the Yankees in the playoffs at Steinbrenner Field. I mean, that would be phenomenal.
I mean, Major League Baseball right now is saying, what can we possibly do to make this not happen? Like, what balls do we got to not juice in that town? What are we going to do? Like, they got it. There's no way they want this to happen. Not a chance.
And based on how they played against the Red Sox, I don't think it's going to happen. So I it seems that the Rays are going to fade, but, you know, we'll have to see.
It's still a funny thing to consider. And you're right, Brian. It's amazing that someone would buy that team. And they said, you know, what Stu Sternberg, they said, bought it for $200 million in 2004. And he's turned around and selling it. And everyone squawks about what a great profit. But come on, do you think this guy's made any money on that team over the years? Not to mention the roofs flying off and all this other crap and the money that he's probably spent on proposals and all this crap. I doubt he's making a ton of money on this sale.
Well, I've never I don't think he's losing money, John.
No, he wouldn't be losing money. He wouldn't be selling it if he was losing money, I don't think. But I don't think he's making $1.5 billion or whatever, you know. Yeah. That's not happening.
All right, listen, the games start and we'll have some games to talk about. It's going to be a very interesting weekend. We'll try to record an episode at the front end of next week after these weekend series and see how we feel. I feel like every series we should almost have a temperature check because as a fan, if they can win 2 out of 3 against Chicago, I'm going to be feeling really good. I really will be excited if they can do that because I think Chicago is sneaky, like one of the best teams in baseball.
Like we talked about, rabid fan base, they will do what they need to do to win. And they got Kyle Tucker, one of the best players, on a rental. Here's what I'm looking forward to the second half. I'm looking for Cal Raleigh to get the home run derby jinx and hit 5 home runs the second half. We know he won't hit 5, but maybe 10.
I'm really glad you brought this up because I have a hot take on this. He's a switch hitting catcher who's got the second most first half home runs ever. There isn't a chance that he can sustain it. He's a catcher. Like, if anything, I would dial back his innings so he can stay afloat. Like, I feel like he's going to croak by the beginning of August because it's just too much wear and tear. Like, I don't think people understand, like, being a catcher is so ridiculously tough. And then if you bat 250, they're happy. You know, for him to do this, I just don't see him. So I agree with – I don't know if it'll be 5, but I will tell you that just by being a catcher – I think he's going to run out of gas.
Yeah, and history says the home run derby usually kind of jinx you a little bit. It's like the Sports Illustrated cover, right? Or is it the EA Sports cover? One of the covers gets you.
Listen, have a great weekend. We'll catch up early next week and see how our teams did. You've been listening to episode 205 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.